Friends, grace and peace to you from the one in whom we live and move and have our being, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today marks the first Sunday in Advent. Advent is a time of penitence and discernment. It is a time when everything slows down, and as we wait and as we yearn expectantly to see signs of God's movement among us. Now, Pastor Tim and I have been talking about how, in many ways, it seems as if we've been in a time of Advent since March. It's been a while. It's been a time of expectant yearning for afflictions to cease, for the night to end, for God to enter our lives in new and surprising ways. We've been waiting for a while. Given all that we continue to see and experience this year, the story of Zechariah's miraculous encounter with the angel Gabriel hit me especially hard this week. It hit me hard because it's a story full of promise, but it's a promise that's a little ways off. It's a story full of good news, but also a little bit of a rebuke for the ways we continue to doubt God's goodness, even when it's right there in front of us. And third, and most importantly, it's a story that continues to speak to us today. In some ways, it speaks to us even more clearly than usual. Let's open our Bibles. You can open your Bibles to the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 5. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, until the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." Word of God, word of life. Amen. Friends, have you ever been told good news, but also told that you weren't allowed to tell anyone just yet? Have you ever been told a secret that was just so marvelous and exciting that it was eating you up inside, not to be able to say anything? News that bubbles within you so powerfully that you just want to sing it from the rooftops. Perhaps there was a job offer that you had to wait to announce, or a perfect gift you bought for someone that you had to wait to give. Maybe it was news of an engagement of a sibling or of a daughter or a son. If so, perhaps you can relate to Elizabeth and Zechariah in our story today. Zechariah, who receives wondrous news from an angel, but then literally loses his ability to speak to anyone about it. Or Elizabeth, who becomes pregnant with John and therefore enters a 5-month period of solitude. A month's long solitude. Yes, in the year 2020, that sounds awfully familiar. Today, the gospel writer tells us a story fitting of our times. And there's 3 big things we can say about it. 1, it's a story of promises, earth-shattering promises. Of course, we see right on the surface the promise of an unlikely child, John, but there's also much more than that. 2, it's a story that contains a little rebuke, because as good as these promises are, we don't always receive them so easily. And 3, it's a story that doesn't come to fulfillment right away. First, it must simmer and gestate. It's a story of God's glorious work that must be first watched and waited for. So first, a story of promise. A promise for who? Luke tells us that Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous and God-fearing people. They kept God's commandments and were blameless before God's eyes. They were literally priestly people, and yet they could not escape the suspicion from both their neighbors and themselves that they had done something wrong, something to earn God's wrath. For you see, in the society in which they lived, and really, in the society in which we ourselves live, any sort of misfortune is often seen by many as a sign of disfavor by God. There seems to be a natural inclination to equate prosperity with godliness, which in turn equates misfortune with sinfulness. That's an easy pattern to slip into until something comes along to shake us out of it. Today in our story, that something is the angel Gabriel, an angel of the Lord who comes with a message for Zechariah and Elizabeth, a message of promise that they will soon bear a son, John. This promise is incredible enough, given Elizabeth's advanced age, as Zechariah puts it, but Gabriel doesn't stop there. Gabriel promises that this son will be a catalyst for God's work of turning the world upside down. The mighty will be thrown down and the lowly raised up, as Mary will later say. John will preach and teach and show people how different God's ways are from human ways. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. It's no coincidence that Gabriel meets Zechariah in worship as he is performing his religious duty to offer incense within the temple. We know from the first chapter of Isaiah that offering incense to God, or worship really in general, should never be done only for its own sake or for our own gratification. Worship should never be divorced from repentance, amendment of life, and concern for widows, the poor, any vulnerable people. In a time when so many today abuse their power to take advantage of the powerless, as we see in Zechariah's time as well as our own, Gabriel comes bearing a promise of reform and of God's intent to restore God's people to their right ways. Beginning with Gabriel's promise to Zechariah, we witness God's shocking ability to come to us as we are, where we are, in the context of our daily concerns. While powers and principalities would generally ascribe little to no import to a barren older couple or an unwed teenage mother or scraggly shepherds in the field, give their concerns not much weight, we will soon see that God exalt these same figures onto the main stage of salvation history. So first, this is a story of promises. But secondly, there's also a little bit of a rebuke, because sometimes we don't receive these promises so well. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like watching the news this year has made me into an even more of a cynic than I already was. I heard a lot of people on the national stage this year make a lot of promises, and I've seen how shallow some of them have turned out to be. The saying, if it sounds too good to be true, exists for a reason, after all. Perhaps the saying was running through Zechariah's head as Gabriel spoke. I don't know, but I can certainly relate to why Gabriel's promises might have sounded a little too good to be true. They are spectacular, and they seem impossible. But it turns out that while a little skepticism is sometimes warranted when discerning human promises, God's promises are always trustworthy, and doubting them is not something God appreciates too much. Zechariah's doubt results in him losing the ability to speak until the promise is fulfilled. Now, Zechariah's loss of speech is often referred to as a punishment for his lack of faith. And I've been pondering this idea a bit this week, and actually, I don't really think that's quite what's happening. Punishment seems just a little bit too strong of a word for what we see here. Rather, it's as if the promises made to Zechariah were so spectacular and so unbelievable that he couldn't quite grasp them all right away. He needed a little extra help. When the holy crashes into our world and our assumptions are confronted with new realities, a response of fear, shock, maybe even a little speechlessness might even seem to be reasonable. Zechariah asked Gabriel how he will know if this promise is true. It's as if Gabriel, a little exasperated, responds, "Well, if a heavenly angel suddenly speaking to you isn't enough evidence for you, try not talking for a while and let's see if that convinces you." In a way, Zechariah is actually having his request for evidence honored. He's been given another sign. Rather than a punishment, it's more of a gentle reproving, one given for his own benefit. Gabriel forces Zechariah to slow down. Gabriel gives Zechariah an onerous gift, a burdensome opportunity of more time to contemplate the impossible promises of God. And there is a lesson for us here then as we enter this Advent season. In this ongoing time of forced physical distancing, this time of slowing down in a season where everything wants us to speed up, 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 perhaps we also have a unique opportunity to hear God better. Human speechlessness, or simply being jarred out of our familiar and comfortable social habits, can sometimes help God be heard, especially when God's words fall so far beyond our expectations or experiences. What promises are being spoken to us now, today, this week, just waiting for our attention? In what ways is God already at work in your life, in ways that become obvious when you simply slow down to think about it? Perhaps there are times it's not so much that God isn't speaking, so much as we haven't stopped. I wonder if in this quiet Advent, this unaccustomed Advent, this Advent spent in remembrance and longing and listening for what light and wisdom might yet come from our present trouble, perhaps this is in fact the Advent we need. I wonder because thirdly and finally, we learn from God's embrace of Elizabeth and Zechariah that fulfillment does not always conform to our desire for immediate gratification. They receive a promise, but first it must simmer and gestate for months on end. And of course, don't you dare forget the years and years they waited before Gabriel even appeared, because I'm sure that they didn't. Our reading today is a story that speaks of patience and hope. We know that God's promises are trustworthy and true, but sometimes we must wait to experience their fulfillment. The promise is made, and yet Zechariah in his silence and Elizabeth in her solitude find themselves in a time of waiting. For now, they can no longer live their lives as normal. For now, they can no longer go out into their community as they once did. For now, they can no longer gather and socialize in the ways that they have loved. Rather, this year transforms for them into an opportunity for passive waiting and watching and discernment. There will be times to act and to speak and to sing again. And in fact, there will be later on a lot of singing in Luke. But this is not such a time. This time is different. This time is special. This is a time for hope. Amen.